Election is unchangeable. Canons of Dort, first head of doctrine, Article 11. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, all men from the fall of Adam and Eve have been inherently sinful and under the just condemnation of God. But God elected some of those who are under his just condemnation to save them through his Son by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hear it, they believe it, and so they are liberated from that condemnation. God did this out of pure grace, not because he saw that a man might choose him in the future. Because man couldn't choose God, man lost the ability to choose to do good when he fell into sin. Or God did not choose him because he saw that a man might have faith, because only God gives faith. But out of pure grace, God chose man. There is one more thing that we must consider now today, is that God's election to salvation is unchangeable. And why is this important? Because if election were unchangeable, it means your salvation is eternal. So this is a doctrine of comfort. Now, we will not cover Article 10. You probably saw that missing if you were paying very careful attention, because we covered that before, which is that God chose us in Christ for his good pleasure. Today, our headings are, one, God cannot change. And then second, so because God cannot change, your election cannot be changed. Our goals are that you will receive comfort from your election. Interesting, isn't it? That you will receive comfort from your election. That you will praise God daily with your mouth for your election. And that you will have renewed zeal to spread the gospel so the elect can be brought in. Because that's how God brings his elect in, through the preaching of the gospel. Now, Article 11, election unchangeable. We say it together, just as God himself is most wise, unchangeable, all-knowing, and almighty, so the election made by him can neither be suspended nor altered, revoked, or annulled. Neither can his chosen ones be cast off, nor their number reduced. First, God cannot change. The one who is most wise, the one who is all-knowing, the one who is almighty, he cannot change. We use the technical word immutable. God is immutable. And so he cannot change. God was the same before creation, and he will stay the same forever. We are affected by age, by our education, by our marriages, by where we live. God is not affected in any way. Look at the scriptures now. Keep your notes handy. Malachi 3 verse 6 says together, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." You notice sons of Jacob? Those are his loved ones. And he says, you're not going to be consumed. You're sinful. But because I do not change, I don't abandon you. James 1, verse 17, together. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." No hint of turning in God. He doesn't change his mind even a little bit. Numbers 23, verse 19, together. "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" He doesn't change his mind. Now, this, of course, is a difficult concept in a world of change where change is the normal thing. Remember how a watch used to be for telling time? Now a watch is not for telling time anymore. People don't even care to know what time it is. They use it as their GPS, as their compass, as their voice recorder, as their TV, as their phone, as their pedometer, as their radio, as their altimeter, as for sending texts, for monitoring their heart, for telling them what the weather is going to be, and to tell them what the latest sports scores are. Things change, don't they? God never changes that way. Everyone who's had a husband knows that he's not lived up to expectations after they were married. Suddenly he forgets all his promises that he made that he was going to do when he was married. He changes. Maybe he gets a little overweight. Maybe he gets a little lazy. It's hard to find someone who'd say, my husband got even better and worked harder and loved me more. We change, don't we? Or a boss promises, you're going to get that pay raise, or you're going to get that promotion, and then he fails to deliver. Look at how we're changing in society. We don't know who a man is anymore. Used to be, you could tell when a baby was born, it was a boy or a girl. Now, they can't even tell you that anymore. They have to wait for the baby to decide who the baby is. There was a time when spanking was normal. And you got spanked in school and you went home and you got a double portion of it. Now, suddenly spanking is dangerous and evil and makes people into mass murderers, according to our society. And there was a time when murdering babies was considered murder. Now it's considering choice and health care and rights. You see how we change? You see why we need someone who doesn't change? That's our God. He doesn't change. He can change. He doesn't want to change. Now, when we think about the change of God, and I want to review this, some of this we might have heard before, but God is unchangeable in three distinct categories. And you will see why this is important. God is immutable or unchangeable in his essence. There was never a time when God was not. Remember, I said earlier, God was outside and created time, space, and matter. He can't change. Only things within that dimension can change. Oh, in those dimensions. You know, God never discovered anything. Unlike you. Discovered the coins in the couch. God never discovered anything. He knows everything exhaustively. All that he is today, he always was. Look at what he said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, together. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. There's no other way of describing him. That's the root of Yahweh, the self-existing one. The one who has no beginning nor end. Can that which is perfect improve on perfection? Maybe made a different decision? No. Can that which is perfect in essence fall from that position? No. If you could fall from it, it meant you were not perfect in the first place. But God is that way. And if God were to change his mind, it would mean he wanted to be better. But that is impossible. For God never wants to do anything better. His nature is always to do that which is good. So his very essence cannot change. Second, God is immutable in his attributes. He cannot change in his attributes. He never loses his desire for justice. You know, sometimes as a parent, you see your children do something wrong and you don't want to deal with it, so you pretend not to see it. God is never like that. He's always seeing guilt when guilt is there. He's always seeing obedience, and it's clear in his mind. He's always holy. He demands death for sin. He demanded death for sin when Adam was made. He demands death for sin to the end of the world. That's why Jesus had to die, by the way. He saves the same way in the Old Testament as he does in the New Testament. That's why this is so important. You understand the blessing of covenant theology. Adam was saved by believing in Jesus. So was Moses and Abraham and David and Isaiah, all the way down. There's only one way to be saved, because God is immutable, unchangeable in his attributes. And then the third area, and this is where we really need to focus today. God is immutable in his counsel or in his decisions. Many, many Christians deny this, because, especially when it comes to this issue of election. But if God says he will do something, you can be sure he will do it. Remember, he's almighty and he's your Father in heaven. For example, God does not want to, nor can he change the number of the elect ones in Jesus Christ. That number cannot be changed even one bit to one person. By the way, you see how important doctrines are, how they're tied to each other. Once that person is elected, you see them in heaven glorified. Because the ones that are elected are the ones who are called, and the ones who are called are the ones who are justified, and the ones who are justified are the ones who are sanctified. The ones who are sanctified are the ones who are glorified. Always tied together. Look at those described for us in brief ways. Notice that sanctification, which was existing at that time, was not included because it was understood. Let's read Romans 8:30 together. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So when people say, I just believe in Jesus, there's no creed but Christ, that's silliness. You're not going to learn about the wonder and beauty and greatness and love of God. You need to understand the rich doctrines of Scripture. The whole gamut of important doctrines you need to get. That's why before you become a member of the church, what do? We go through the doctrines of the church so you understand these doctrines, at least the main things you should have in your head and in your heart as well. Now, God is unchangeable in those three categories. God does not need to change because he's self-contained. Everything he needs to know, he already knows. Everything he needs to do, he can do. He has the ability to do it. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4 says, together, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he. Now, this is not simply speaking about his existence from the beginning to the end. That first part is often ignored from the verse. Who has performed and done it? The fact that he was from the beginning means he was doing what he should from the beginning, and he is able to do at the very end of the world what he was supposed to do. That's why he's self-contained. He does not need you. He does not need any of you. That's what makes election so special. Well, how can you explain what appears to be God changing his mind in the Scriptures? Well, let's look at a couple of passages or references. The first passage I look at is Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. Remember, Nineveh repented and all. And look at what it says there. Verse 10 together. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. So God says, 40 days, destruction's coming on you. And then God says, okay, I'm not going to do it. And people say, look, God changed his mind. Well, God didn't change his mind. And then decide not to punish Nineveh. The people of Nineveh changed their minds. God's plan was always to save Nineveh after Nineveh repented. Even before Jonah hid on the sinking ship, God planned, the way to think of this is, God planned already to change his mind and save the Ninevites. It only appeared to man that God changed his mind, but God willed that Nineveh would repent, and she did of her own free will. So God wasn't surprised and said, oh, I was going to destroy them and now I can't do it. I should have known better. That's never with God. God knew what he was going to say. God knew that they would repent of their own free will, and God knew he would not punish them from the very beginning of the world. And then there's another case at the just before the flood. Remember how people became wicked? And people look and say, look, God made this people. Look at what happened to them. And look at how God describes, or Moses described the Lord there. Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, together. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Oh, think about that. The Lord was sorry. He's like, people say, like, he made a mistake. No, he made them, and look what they turned out to be. Well, God simply used language that man could understand. Let me point it this way. If you have to spank your child, you are sorry. But you still do it, don't you? Who had children here who you thought would never do anything wrong? But you still had them, didn't you? Who thought they would never have to spank their kids? Nobody here. We still do it, don't we? Why? Because that's what we chose to do. That's what God is calling us to do. So God knew what they would do. He was not unaware. He knew this from the foundation of the world, but he permitted it because it suited his purpose. So that's the first point. God cannot change, starting in who God is. And now we bring home that point about our election. If God cannot change and he elected you, his election cannot be changed. He is unchangeable in his essence, in his attributes, and in our case, very importantly for this topic, he cannot change in his counsels. He elected you in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, and that cannot be changed. What does that mean then? It means your election can never be, if you notice what our catechisms or canons say, your election can never be suspended. God will never temporarily ban you from being his child. It can never be altered. He will never change a sonship contract. You know, sometimes people want to change a contract after it's not much in their favor. God will never change the contract that he made with his son for you. Election can never be revoked. God can never legally toss aside your election because you didn't obey perfectly. You know why? Because you will say, I had someone who obeyed perfectly for me. And he can't say, well, I'll change a contract or I'll revoke the contract because you sin. You will say, I had someone who didn't sin for me, who obeyed perfectly. That's the work of the Lord Jesus. That's my covenant keeper. So God can't revoke that covenant. It can never be annulled. What does that mean? Annul means to say it never happened. You know, like Roman Catholics, if they want to give a divorce, they would say, oh, well, the marriage never really happened. The person may be married for 25 years. I know someone who was married for 25 years, had, I think, 8 or 9 kids, and then the Roman Catholic priest said the marriage never happened. They annulled it. They just declared it never happened. God can't do that either. It would violate his very counsels, his counsel. God cannot cast you off. God never gets so mad at anyone that he puts the elect out of his family. And God cannot reduce your election, to reduce the number of people who are elected. No one falls through the cracks, and God doesn't say, oops, I forgot to get the gospel to that one. He just fell through the cracks and he's lost. Everyone who he chooses will hear that gospel, will believe that gospel, and will be saved. Now, some Christians misunderstand this doctrine, and they try to explain it this way. You know, they see election in the scriptures because the Bible talks about this often. But they have to come up with some way of trying to reinterpret that. So they will say, God is immutable or unchangeable only in his ethics, but not in his election. So they would say, God is always loving and God is always just and God is always holy, but not in the area of election. They would believe that God is changeable in some areas. The problem is that would make God unpredictable. So God could say one day, well, you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then another time he will say, well, you can be saved by keeping the law. Or he can say, you're saved by being in a different religion. Or he can make up some other new way of being saved. But God cannot do that. He is unchangeable in all areas, including in his election. Unchangeable. And praise God for that. God is not unpredictable. And by the way, if God changed his mind and said, well, you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and then he could do a Roman Catholic thing and say, well, you could be saved by grace, but you also are saved by a combination of works, that would mean God improved. But remember the important thing, God cannot change in his attributes. He cannot change, and therefore, there's only one way to be saved. Also, God does not change, so your salvation is secured. Once you're saved, you're always saved. God does not have a magic eraser next to the Lamb's Book of Life. Look at what he says in Isaiah 46, verse 4. Together, even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. So from the time you are born to the time you're old, he will carry you. He didn't say you have to walk on your own. He will carry you. You're passive. That's a beautiful picture. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, speaking of the work of Jesus Christ, not simply about his nature, but what he does with his nature. Verse 8, together, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Only one way to be saved. And you see, God's immutability or his unchangeableness is inextricably tied to your salvation. If he were not immutable, your salvation would be up in the air every second. You know, as kids, we used to play that and going to school. When we thought we were late, we would pull out the daisy and say, we're late, we're not late, we're late, we're not late. And usually it'll make us late because we did that. Or, you know, he loves me not, like little girls might do, trying to see if the guy loves them, as if that had anything to do with it. But that's not how God works. He chooses you, he loves you, he gives you the gospel, you believe the gospel by faith that he gives you. It's his work. Imagine the uncertainty if the Lord were unchangeable. People would have no fingernails. You know why? Every time you think about your sin, and who doesn't? Sometimes we feel ashamed and we look at ourselves, how could I say that? How could I do that? Maybe I'm not elect. Maybe I'm not one of God's children. And you'd bite your fingernails out. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to let sin overwhelm you and feel hopeless and become hopeless, because the Lord will keep you. Look at Romans 11, 29 together. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Cannot be revoked. Job 23, verse 13 together. But he is unique, and who can make him change? Yeah. Rhetorical question, no one. What God promises, he will do because of his unchangeable nature. I've explained to some of you before that if you don't get this, what the consequences could be. Because I live in the fear a nightmarish thing as a youth, because I believe I could have one sin when Jesus returned and I'd go to hell. Or then you would have the tribulation period and all kinds of other goofy things we were taught. That's the kind of wickedness that doctrine is, that denies our election in Jesus Christ. Imagine the nightmare of a young child. You couldn't concentrate on all the things because you think, I'm hopeless if I just have one sin. I've told you about the young pastor who committed suicide several years back in the U.S. And the pastor in the congregation said, that man's body may not come into the church because he is in hell right now because he committed suicide. What wickedness of that pastor and that congregation. Who knows what people go through? Of course Christians can commit suicide. Christians can commit murder. They can do all kinds of terrible things. You know, you think there's any chance that pastor or that people in the congregation didn't have an unconfessed sin when they died? We all will have unconfessed sins when we die. Well, we're not saved by our confession. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. He chose us. He died for our sins. He lived and gave us his perfect obedience. God does not cancel his election based on our lack of good deeds or because we sin. And because God does not change, the other side is true. And this is when it gets really serious, you know. Those who reject Jesus, those who are without hope, will surely face eternity in hell. There's no neutral ground. There's no purgatory. Deuteronomy 32, verse 39 says, together, now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. Look again at Ezekiel 8, verse 18. Together, therefore I also will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. See, the other side is true. The Lord also wounds. The Lord also condemns. See, there's no other way of salvation. Muslims wouldn't go to heaven. Hindus wouldn't go to heaven. But this compels us to share the gospel with them, doesn't it? If you do, then they will believe and then they will join us in the praising of God for eternity. Now, one more thing to consider. Because God does not change, there's a certain predictability in how you live your life as the elect of God. Look at what election does to us. We know it gives us that assurance we'll be with the Lord in heaven. We know that those who reject Christ will be condemned in hell. But those who are elected, you have that certain predictability, knowing that God holds all things together. So you don't panic when there's too much snow on the road or when there's a windstorm and that you might lose some shingles on your roof. You don't hide in your basement in convulse in fear because you hear there's a new strain of COVID that is out. And Teresa Tam is beating her drum again. You don't hide. You don't live in fear. You don't worry if the electricity goes out. You don't overreact when you see the government, as it is doing right now, destroying the economy of the country by printing money and robbing its citizens. Vladimir Putin does not control the world. You don't have to be afraid of him. Global warming will not destroy life on earth because God controls the earth. Now, we have to use our God-given wisdom, but we don't panic when things are outside of our control because God controls all things. He elected you in Jesus and he will keep you forever. Acts 17, verse 28 says together, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. So there he was in the Areopagus, talking with the seed pickers, the people who are trying to find out truth. And he said, we don't worry about that, for in God, our God, that I want to introduce you to, we live and move and have our being. Because God is stable. He holds all things together. Atoms don't break apart and go flying off in every direction. Those who argue for randomness in the universe are perpetuating a deep lie from hell. By the way, that's what evolution is based on. Suddenly there's randomness. They don't know where the thing started from. But then there's sudden randomness, and order came from randomness. A most unobservable fact in human history. Isaiah 54 verse 10 says together, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy in us. When will God's kindness go? Never. When will his kingdom, his covenant end? Never. He loved you. This is just as David spoke to Solomon when he said, you and the people fear God and he will bless you. Let's conclude. God cannot change. God doesn't need to change. God doesn't want to change. God cannot change your election. He doesn't need to change your election. He doesn't want to change your election. So, brothers and sisters, be comforted. You are secured in Christ forever. It doesn't mean you live however you want. To show you're elected, you have to work out your salvation. You have to live before God in obedience. That will remind you whose you are. But being comforted is one thing. We must move to the next step, which is to praise God for your election, for his electing you. You hated him. He loved you. He cleaned you up and he made you his child. More particularly, he made you his bride. Then you must fight to defend the doctrine of election and show that what the implications of these doctrines are, this doctrine are. Many weak brothers rob themselves of God's blessing and they rob themselves of this comfort. Have pity on those who reject it. Help them to see it, because there's a wonderful comfort in knowing that you are Christ's. And then you must spread the gospel so the elect can hear and be saved. And finally, only God's child can work for him and worship him. So if you're not God's child, I invite you to receive the life and death of Jesus as a substitute for you. How do you get Christ's life and death as yours? You ask. It's free. Even the ability to receive it, he gives that ability to you. And then you can become God's child. And you too can receive these benefits, the comforts and joy of your election. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for the comforts we have in our election in Jesus Christ. Lord, where would we be without you choosing us? Help us to walk worthy then of our election, not to take it for granted and use it as an excuse to live however we want, but how we will live obediently before you. Strengthen and keep us. Keep sin away from us. Keep the praises of Holy God on our lips. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.